So this year, we're actually going to move away from one chapter or one book and move to another, and it's going to be a seamless transition. Because, as you see, if you look on the page, the title page for our series this year, Sefer Ale Yishur, Shari Hadracha Chelek Sheini. This is volume 2 of Rav Volbi's teachings. Now, volume 1, if you recall, was more like a skinny volume. This is a serious volume. You know, you could really hurt somebody with this one. This is a much thicker and bigger volume of teachings, but it's very much in the same style, in the same perspective. Now, the first volume was actually geared for Yeshiva Bachrim, and I think we did a decent job of applying it more broadly for those in this room who are not still Yeshiva Bachrim or never were Yeshiva Bachrim. But this volume actually is going to be more directly related to us, because as you see from the title and the subtitle here, Nisayon, an attempt, Lehadrich, to guide, Es B'nei Dorenu, the people of our generation, B'knisaso, in his entry, or her entry in our case, for those who are here, La'avoda Musaris, to the Avoda Musar, which we'll talk about in a second. So we see that this volume is actually directed to a more broad audience. This volume was published 20 years after the initial volume of Ale Yishur, and it's a similar style in the sense that it is a collection of vadim, of small group learning. Vad literally means to meet. So it was a group of meetings that Rav Volbi had with students, people who came for ethical direction. So it's a similar style, but now it's focused more broadly on a more general audience, which is us. So the best way to begin any venture is to start with a key question, and that is why. So why are we learning this? Why is this volume important? Why are these teachings worthy of reflection for us at this time? We could choose lots of different things. But maybe the way to answer that question is to think about a different question, a deep and sometimes overwhelming question, but it's a fundamental question that on occasion we should ask ourselves, and that is, why are we here in the first place? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create us? What are we supposed to be accomplishing? What's our purpose? Right, the big why. So there are a lot of answers to that. But maybe one way to answer that question is to say that the reason that the Ribbono Shel Olam put us here is for us to become our best selves. Maybe that's why he put us here. Because the Ramchal notes that the Ribbono Shel Olam, God, doesn't need us. He doesn't need to create the world. But many explain that Hashem wanted Ratzon Hatov Lehitiv. Hashem wanted to give us an opportunity to perfect the world. He could have created a world that was perfect, but it's, in a certain sense, it's a greater accomplishment to take something that's not perfect and make it perfect, to improve upon something and to perfect it. So God did an experiment, and he said, you guys perfect the world. So he created us, and in doing so, he gave us an opportunity to earn our, so to speak, earn our keep, right? We have accomplished something spiritually, so when our soul goes back at the end of our journey, we look to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say, okay, we have something to show for ourselves. So what that means is that when we're put into this earth, Hashem wants us to accomplish something. He gives us a certain set of talents, of abilities. He puts us in a circumstance. He gives us a certain environment. And he says, I'm not asking you to do what someone else can do or to be somebody else. I'm asking you to be yourself. Be the best you that you can be. So when we come back after 120, we show up and he says, oh, that's the same soul that I put down here, but it's in this shiny, you know, upgraded version, the best version that you can be. That's our goal. There was a great Hasidic master, Reb Zusha. Do you want to tell them?
No, you do that.
All right, fine, fine. There were two brothers, Reb Elimelech and Reb Zusha, Reb Zusha of Anapoli. And when Reb Zusha was at the end of his journey in this world, his students were with him, and they said to him, Rebbe, why are you crying? Because they saw that he was really upset. And he said, because when I come before the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's not going to ask me why I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was not going to ask me why I wasn't Aaron HaKohen. He's going to ask me why I wasn't Zusha. Each one of us has the opportunity to be the best selves that we can be. That's what Reb Zusha is telling us, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, all he's asking us is to be ourselves. But not to be a crummy version of ourselves, to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. That's what we're trying to accomplish in this world. We're trying to refine ourselves and follow that path of development. So if that's our why in general, why are we here? We're here to refine ourselves, to accomplish something, to contribute to the world, and to be the best selves that we can. So one avenue to do that is a movement that is colloquially known as Musar. Now the word Musar, how would you translate the word Musar? It's a tough word to translate. It literally, I guess you could say it means the strictures or the guidelines. But in the colloquial sense, when you talk about the Musar movement, it means ethical teachings and self-improvement. That's what it means. There was a great rabbinic luminary in the 19th century. His name is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter founded this movement. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the same way that Hasidus was picking up, and Hasidus was, on the one hand, novel, but on the other hand, there's nothing in Hasidus that you don't find in the Talmud. It's just a unique emphasis. And the same thing happens with the Musar movement. The Musar movement is new, but it's actually not new at all. It's just placing a particular emphasis on character development, which you find all throughout the Talmud and the Rambam and works, many works that long precede Rabbi Yisrael Salanter by hundreds of years. But it's a specific focus. And Rav Volbi, right, he originally comes from a German family during the war. He was in Sweden, comes to Israel after the war. And he is a follower of this school, of this movement, the Musar movement. His Rebbe, one of his primary Rabbeim was Rabbi Rucham Lubavitz from Europe, from the Mir Yeshiva. But Rabbi Rucham was connected to previous generations. He wasn't just the originator, he was a link in the chain of the Musar movement. And so if we're thinking about how to be our best selves, one way to do that is to develop ourselves through Musar, through character development. Parenthetically, this is very timely because during this period, these weeks, we're saying in the morning, and for those of us who daven Sfarad, we say it at Mincha. For those who daven Ashkenaz, they say it at Maariv. L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. So there, the Medrash comments on that verse. L'David Hashem Ori. Hashem is my light. Ori B'Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean that Hashem is our light on Rosh Hashanah? So the great Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldvich Zatzal, the founding Rosh Yeshiva, he said that, what does it mean that or on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is referred to as the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. He said a great mashal. He said it's like when you're walking in the dark or you're sitting in a dark room, nobody sees, you don't see yourself, you don't see anything. And all of a sudden, boop, you turn on the lights and you see everything. That's the experience of Yom HaDin. That all of a sudden we look at ourselves and we ask ourselves, wait a minute, am I my best self right now? That's what Yom HaDin really is. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam, God forbid, people have this idea that he's sitting with like a lightning bolt waiting to get you because you didn't tie your left shoe after, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's very bad. It's very, very unhealthy. I mean, maybe for some people it's healthy, but I don't know those people. Or if I do, I wouldn't associate with them. Not openly. That's very unhealthy. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to succeed. He gives us a chance every year. But the or of Rosh Hashanah, the din, is to take one day and say, wait a second, am I my best self? That's why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. Isn't it a strange thing? You would think that first you should ask forgiveness and then you should be judged. No? Did we ever think about that? It should have been Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah. Why are you only dealing with the shortcomings after you got your judgment? Doesn't make any sense, does it? But of course it makes sense, because the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, it's an experience of self-reflection. It's saying, the Ribbono Shel Olam is my king. Well, if he's my king, that's the main thesis on Rosh Hashanah. I'm one of the servants. My job is to be the best, whatever I'm supposed to be, the candlestick maker, the baker, the server, whatever I am. And I sit down on Rosh Hashanah, I say, I'm not sure I quite got there yet. So now I'm going to work really hard over the next 10 days. If I haven't started during Elul, I'm going to work really hard to make sure that I can be the best that I can be. That was a slogan for a while. Be the best you can be. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us in Rosh Hashanah. That's the or. Turning on the light and reflecting and saying, that's the question. Am I the best version of myself that I can be? So the Musar movement and the Musar school and Musar learning is going to help us. It's a tool. For some people, this is not a good tool, so they don't use it. But for other people, it's very healthy. Now, it's not that there is one... I'm not an expert on anything, as you all know by now. I'm certainly not an expert on Musar, but it's clear that there are different approaches to the world of Musar, and different approaches work for different people. Like there was a traditional yeshiva, a Musar yeshiva, a very particular Musar yeshiva, called Nevarad, in a city in Europe called Nevaradok, and that city, that yeshiva still exists today. It was transplanted in Israel. I think there might also be a Nevaradok yeshiva in Brooklyn. In Nevaradok, they had a very particular way of approaching, at least the way we understand it, approaching Musar, you know, self-development. And that was really turning on the screws and realizing how worthless we are cosmically and spiritually in terms of everything. So if you were a student in the Musar Yeshiva Nevaradok, you know what would be a great activity for you on a Monday morning? We'd tell you, I have a great idea. Can you go to the pharmacy, stand online at the corner of Happy and Healthy, you wait online, product placement.
Thank you.
You stand online, and when you get to the clerk, you know they have the little light blue color jackets, or some of them have the white jackets, and you say to the clerk, I'm here to buy a can of nails. This is what would happen. At least this is what they say, the legend says you would do in Nevada. And they would say, what are you doing here? And you would say, I'm here to buy a can of nails. And the clerk would say, you're such an idiot! You want to buy a can of nails? Go to the hardware store. Don't go to the pharmacy. I think I would say, you know what? You're right. I'm talking a big idiot. And he would leave. That's Nevaradok, huh? How many people are ready for that? You good? Let's sign up. So that's one school. I wasn't raised in that school. That's only one school. But there are other very strong Musar schools that are different. I met a person who belonged to such a Musar school. Some of you remember this person. Nechama's grandmother was married to Rabbi Ralph Pelkovitz, Zecher Tzadik L'Berucha. So Rabbi Pelkovitz, he was the rabbi of the White Shul in Far Rockaway for many, many, many years, over 60 years. But when he was a young man, his father was a rabbi in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and his mother... I don't know how exactly this worked out, but his mother took the children for a year and lived in Israel. And for some of the time he was there, for some of the time he was not, it was like some kind of sabbatical where he came for a period of time, but he was 12 years old or something like that. So his mother was living with him and his siblings in Yerushalayim. They were having apparently a great time in the early 1930s, I guess. And she managed he sent the money from Connecticut. They thought this was a great idea, I guess. In that time, maybe it was great. I don't know. I don't know how that would work out, but okay, let's go with the story for the moment. So here's this 11, 12-year-old kid coming from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he attends the high school of the Chevron Yeshiva. The Chevron Yeshiva, which is located in Yerushalayim at that time, it's called Knesset Yisrael. It's still there today. If you go to Israel, you go to Givat Mordechai, they have a beautiful yeshiva building. They have a wonderful, thriving yeshiva. There's another branch of the Chevron Yeshiva. But the Chevron Yeshiva, before he studied there, was actually in Chevron, until, anybody know when it left Hebron? Right, until the 29 massacres where several of their yeshiva bachrim were murdered. But before it was in Hebron, it was in Europe. It was in a city called Slabodka. So it was really the Slabodka yeshiva. We call it the Hebron yeshiva, but it was really, it's associated with Slabodka. You should see pictures of the yeshiva bachrim from Slabodka in Europe. Fantastic dressers. Fantastic. I mean, I don't even understand the style of dress. Amazing. White suits, light hats, pictures, the whole thing. Because there's an adage, they used to say that in Slabodka, which was a Musar yeshiva, they learned Gemara, they learned Halacha, but they also learned Musar. They used to say, the yeshiva bachrim here are so great, how could they do Averis? In the Varik, they would say, you're such a gornisht, why would you even think to do an Avera? You have so much work to do. You're mamish and nothing. Of course you're not going to do any Averis. You're so busy fixing yourself. And in Slabodka, they would say, you can't do any Averis. Look how great you are. Look what a somebody you are. They were very makbid that the Bachrim shined their shoes. We call that in the tradition. That's also a good idea. They call that godless ha'adam, the greatness of a person. And that too is part of the Musar movement. So Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichron Levracha, he always quoted the Balei HaMusar. Always. At the Seder, at the Shabbos table, I always quoted Balei HaMusar. But the way that he presented Musar was in a self-affirming way. It wasn't in a way that felt like you were a nothing and it would break you in half, which is an approach, but maybe not for everybody, maybe not for the year 2019, for many people, but rather was a way of understanding the greatness within a person, the skills that we have, and how we need to develop them and be the best that we can be. So, for example, he wrote a book together with his son, Lahavdil Min Chaim L'Chaim, Dr. David Pelkovitz. They wrote a book on parenting, but then they wrote a book called Balanced Living, which is a synthesis of positive psychology and traditional Musar insights. That's basically what it is. Dr. Pelkovitz brings the research, and Rabbi Pelkovitz brings the Svarim HaKadoshim, some of which he quotes, and some of which are just kind of legends from Europe that he heard from his teachers. What is positive psychology? It was founded by a guy in Penn, and it's essentially saying we all have qualities, and we have a lot of great qualities. So what we need to do, said Martin Seligman, Dr. Martin Seligman, is let's figure out what are our great qualities and let's sharpen them. Let's polish them. Let's expand on them. Let's build on them. Instead of always focusing on, well, this is broken and that's not whole and this is a problem. We need to realize that there are a lot of things going for us. So you can actually go. There's a whole online. You can go on the Penn website. They have a section on positive psychology. You can take tests and learn about the values that you have or different strengths that you have and how to build on them. So it made sense for Rabbi Pelkovitz to collaborate with Dr. Pelkovitz in the realm of positive psychology. So they talk about different midos and how to develop those midos. But it's important to understand this distinction because some people, if you would tell them, oh, you're learning Alei Shur, you're learning a work from Rav Shlomo Volbe, which sounds like it's from the school of the Musar movement, you must be like, wow, you must sleep on a bed of nails. And the answer is, Musar does not mean, it certainly doesn't mean only, and I would argue that in certain contexts, it doesn't mean sleeping on a bed of nails or saying that I'm a nothing. That's not necessarily the way that we're going to interpret Musar and understand it in our journey. We're going to understand that Musar means what we talked about over 2 years, which is self-awareness and self-development. It's like Jewish spiritual emotional intelligence. That's what it is. Right? It's understanding the qualities and the strengths that we have, identifying them, and building on them. And of course, as part of that, it means recognizing, well, where are we not so strong? So to figure out how to strengthen those areas, how to avoid getting into those problems in the first place. But if you were to tell someone, oh, I just started this weekly learning. I'm learning Ale Shur, which is Beknisaso, in his case, in her entrance, La Avoda Musaris, to the work of Musar. They would say, whoa, I'll see you at Walgreens with the nails. And you'd be like, no, no, that's not the kind of Musar that we're talking about. We're talking about the Musar of positive psychology. And so we're using the Ale Shur as the framework. That's point number one. Point number two, which he makes in the introduction, there are actually two introductions to this volume. The first one is not on your sheet. It's called the Mavo L'Chelek HaSheni, which I didn't give you on the page. And then the second one is a page which we're not going to get to today, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to get to next time. But he points out in the previous introduction, which you don't have, he says, if you want to take this book seriously, you have to take that word on the cover page very seriously, Avoda Musaris. It's work. This is not, even though maybe this class, maybe it shouldn't be, this class is presented more as a lecture, but the process is an active process. It can't be viewed as a passive process. It's an avoda, it is a work. We're not studying self-development, this avoda, as an intellectual abstract exercise. It's got to be an avoda, it's got to be work. The word avoda means work. We have to view it that these are going to be guideposts of how to work on ourselves. That's what it's about. Self-development requires that we invest in ourselves. So what we're learning is not an academic discipline. And he says this very clearly. He says, if you're learning this for academic purposes, then you're not going to find it very rewarding. That's not the purpose of this volume. The purpose of this volume is to really reflect on how do we take the lessons of Musar, of development, and apply them in our own lives. So if we start back at the beginning of our discussion and we ask, why are we learning this? Well, we're learning this. It's Talmud, the Gemara says in Kedushin. Why is learning very greater than action? It's Talmud, Shemevi Lidei Maisa. It is learning, which is Mevi. It brings us to action. The goal of this is actually action-oriented. It's that we should find ways in our lives to implement the strategies that Rav Volpe is laying out for us. And through that, to refine ourselves, to become the best people that we can be, and to answer that ultimate question when we come back to the Ribono Shel Olam. And honestly, you know, may Yitzhak Lefonov, who could really do everything right, but honestly say, we were involved in an avoda, in a work, in a strategy to be the best people that we can be and represent ourselves, not just on Rosh Hashanah, Haba Aleinu Latova, but Emir Tz Hashem throughout our entire lives. So I thank you for coming. We should have a good year and good health.